who wants this? Like, who said this is such a good idea? People have been asking for this for years. Let's make it come true. Mrs. Doubtfire, the director, has confirmed that they're making an R-rated version of the movie.
Are they really going to make it? Like, I mean, I know that some of this stuff exists, but I didn't actually realize that they were going to release it.
Okay. So I guess when they were, you know, shooting the original movie with Robin Williams, he did a lot of kind of improv on the movie.
Who would have thought? I mean, it's kind of like his whole career was based on that.
But a lot of the off-the-cuff things that he did was R-rated.
Sure.
And was hilariously funny, but obviously didn't make it because it was R-rated and this was like a PG movie for the family. So what they're doing is they want to take all these outtakes and they want to raise the level to NC-17 and they want to re-release it that way. I just don't understand why you would want to do something like that at this point.
Well, I mean, people are curious, obviously, with the loss of Robin Williams. I think that people always want to see what other people have left behind if they haven't seen it before. Was an iconic movie. Could be different with a more adult humor. It does deal with heavy subject matter, really, the separation of family and all that stuff, too. So maybe there's some of that that's a little bit too heavy for 13-year-olds, I guess. I really don't know.
But it's like once you have something...
I just don't want to see Robin Williams naked as Mrs. Doubtfire.
No.
That I'm sure of.
Yeah, so that I'm 100% sure of. All right, number one movie that is a nice PG family movie that you never want to see turn into an R-rated film.
Oh, gosh. I don't think I want to see Forrest Gump go farther than it went. Like right on that line.
How about E.T.? Imagine if E.T. all of a sudden became a graphic NC-17 movie and E.T. really took it too far way too many times. I could start getting graphic, but I'm relatively certain I'll get in a lot of trouble.
I don't know if that's an ear or a belly button.
I think this has to be my favorite quote that I've read in any article in a long time. And it says, painfully high heels should never have been the norm. Oh, Rachel, from your lips to God's ears.
Well, thank you.
Rachel Weingarten is an award-winning author, pop culture and trends expert. You know, there's been a lot of talk about what is post-pandemic fashion going to look like. So do you think that that's the end of the high heels, the painfully high heels?
I wish I could tell you that it is or that it will be. Sadly, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think we might see, you know, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago about how people are spending more on ugly shoes. So it's not that they're not wearing ugly shoes, they're just spending more. And we haven't really had occasion to wear high heels. And when I say we, I don't mean myself because I no longer wear those. But I do think that some women just love the look and will not stop. My hope, though, is that we might get back to sort of that aesthetic that was popular in the 70s. And I don't mean hideous earth shoes. I mean creative heels. You know, we might see more interesting wedges or maybe a more square heel or something that actually has support. But scary high heels, as long as we have reality TV, we're going to see those.
I feel like an explosion is on the way, an avalanche, if you will, of these clothes, of crazy outfits, all that stuff. Because when people get the shot and they get to go out, they're going to go absolutely insane.
Do you think that?
I think there's no rolling back.
Or has this become our new norm? Where, because I find myself, like when I'm getting dressed up to go out to dinner now, you know, I've bought myself a couple pretty dresses, but I feel like I'm always looking to be more comfortable now than I've ever been before in my life.
So if we look at the past pandemic, you know, let's go back 100 years. There were historical aspects going on as well. You know, women were getting the right to vote. For the first time in history, they cut their hair. They bobbed their hair. They didn't want those long, fussy haircuts. They stopped wearing corsets. They wore loose shifts. Now, let's get back to our time where people are saying, well, I'm not going to wear a bra, and I'm only wearing leggings. My hair could grow really long, or I might dye it, or I might not. It's different. Right before all of this hit, what was the trend that everybody was trying to shove down our throats? That was athleisure. So it was already starting. I think we're going to ease our way back to fashion again.
Anna, you remember what happened after the last pandemic? It's called the Roaring Twenties.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
All right. That's all I'm saying.
So
I think
what
some of us are going to roar. I think some of us are going to whimper.
Yeah. I think some of us will be somewhere in between, to be honest. What do you think is like the one thing, the one fashion trend that we're going to see emerge after all this? Something that's going to be new and different, but to get ahead of the trends, we should be buying it.
Fashion is so fractured right now, and you know, we shop based on our income, obviously. We shop based on where we live. We shop based on our influences. Believe it or not, of all of this, I see more comfortable jeans coming back in. And I don't mean necessarily mom jeans. For some reason, I keep going back to the 70s, and I'm thinking longer culottes or skorts.
I just want to tell you, Rachel, when I held on to my butterfly clips, everyone looked at me like I was crazy. They're like, nobody's going to keep these plastic butterfly clips. And I was like, you never know. And here we are. The day has finally come.
I predict cheetah print and 5-inch stilettos.
Ugh.
You dream about cheetah print and
right.
5-inch stilettos.
Get out of here with that nonsense. All right, Rachel Weingarten. You can visit her online at rachelweingarten.com. Rachel, thank you for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you both so much. Appreciate that.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. I have no idea why. This is 2 days old news, and for some reason, it's still bothering me. Okay. I think because people haven't really shown concern about it, and okay. I'm like, why don't people think this is a bigger deal than it is?
What is it?
Okay. If you misspell somebody's name when you're sending a thank you note or congratulations Ooh. Or a gift,
yeah.
That's all I need to know about you. So Beyonce sent Taylor Swift a congratulations note and flowers after she won the Grammy for Album of the Year.
That's sweet.
Yeah, and Taylor Swift is a super Beyonce fan, and so it was pretty awesome, and she was so excited about it that she Instagrammed a picture of the handwritten note from Beyonce and the flowers.
Oh no, is this a misspelling?
Wait a minute. Beyonce spelled Taylor Swift's name, Taylor,
yeah.
T-A-I-L-O-R. Taylor is spelled T-A-Y-L-O-R. Now, maybe you're thinking that's not a big deal, but to me, I just think it makes me crazy when I get emails, letters, and people misspell my name. It's like, you couldn't take the 3 extra seconds to figure out the correct way to spell my name. It's not like she's got like a real, like, really unique name where it might be a little bit more difficult. Like, you're Beyonce, and you're sending a congratulations note. It's Taylor Swift. It's a quick Google.
That's a mistake that's been made with that name for a very, very long time. It's not like one of those unique spellings that Taylor Swift has come up with. So I get it, you know. And Beyonce's clothes are tailored a lot. So maybe she just looked over on a slip. She's like, oh, did you pick those up from the tailor? Great, because I was wondering how to spell this name.
And nobody in the comments, 17,100 comments.
Is it just a cursive that looks like a different letter?
No.
No.
And Beyonce's handwriting is really strange. If you've never looked at it, you thought your doctor had strange handwriting. Wait till you see this. But I looked at it. I go, maybe I'm mislooking at it. I go, no, that's an I. She drew a heart over an I. That is not a Y. And I don't know why it bothers me, because in all those comments, not one person made a remark about it.
Well, because it's Beyonce.
Right.
Right? You don't want to bring on, you know, the beehive. They will just swarm and eat you up. And I'm sure she has extra stationery. I mean, just re-sign another letter.
Just figure out the right way to spell people's names. It means a lot.
Yeah, I guess it does in those moments. When do you think, you know, speaking of Beyonce's signature, at what level do you think that you don't have to care about your signature at all anymore? Right? Because nowadays they don't teach kids cursive or whatever. Your signature could be anything. It could be an X on a piece of paper. Doctors, the joke always was, they're signing a lot of slips, but they're educated, they make a lot of money, so who cares? Their signature doesn't have to look like anything in general. At what level of fame and success do you no longer have to care about your mark?
I don't know.
Or spelling.
I think you always have to have some kind of signature.
You sure?
Yeah, it's funny you even bring this up, because, you know, Hayden, my 12-year-old, I told her that she had to sign like a thing from the school saying she won't look at bad things on the internet, whatever. And she doesn't have a signature because they don't really do cursive.
Right.
And I was like, so she just printed her name. And I was like, but that's not your signature.
Right.
And she like didn't understand the difference.
Yeah. No, I don't think, well, with DocuSign and all those things that are coming in the future, I don't think it's even going to matter anymore. I'm just wondering at what level, what amount of money do I have to make where I no longer have to care about
What do you think is the number?
I don't know.
$700,000 a year.
I'm guessing it's over like $3 million. Mm. Over $3 million where your retirement is pretty well set. You're like, well, whatever the world does to me, I think I'm going to be all right.
All right, there you go. If you have over $3 million, you don't have to worry about your signature. But regardless, you should know how to spell people's names if you're writing thank you notes or congratulations notes.
I mean, I guess that's your opinion.
Mm-hmm. You thought you had it bad? Sometimes the only way to make yourself feel better is to read about what others are going through. And thanks to Twitter, there is no shortage of issues out there, Raven.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole industry built on the fact that I can have a better day if I see your bad day. I've watched one of those shows, right? There's nothing like seeing somebody fall down or get knocked in the face.
These are all tweets from the last 24 hours about what people are enduring, okay?
Okay.
At Trent M.R. Pollard, he tweeted, I lost my wallet today, my ID, 3 credit cards, 3 debit cards, $200 cash. Now I get to spend tomorrow morning getting new cards, new ID, and a new wallet. Hashtag, this stinks.
That's the worst, man.
Isn't it anything worse than when you lose your wallet?
Yeah, and they all tell you, like, we'll get you a card right away, but it's like 2-3 days, man. And then you're just sitting around waiting for FedEx to come 8 times that afternoon.
And you're just waiting for somebody to drain all your accounts.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Watching ominously.
At Yender Sarah tweeted, I got contacts today, and now I can't get one out! Exclamation point.
I'm sorry.
I don't wear contacts.
That's terrifying.
But I'm always afraid. Like, but my husband puts them in his eyes. Like, if you don't wear contacts and you watch people that do it, you always wonder, like, how do they do that? And I'm like, how does your eye not eat it and put it into your brain? Right?
Right, right. Yeah. I got enough problems with my eyes.
Mm-hmm. At SHA2210, she tweeted, my little one climbed into my bed at 5:30 this morning.
Oh, nice.
He has not stopped talking since. Face with rolling eyes. Hashtag mom problems.
Oh, man. It's like when my wife comes home from going out with her girlfriends and wakes me up at 12 o'clock, wants to chat about everything she saw.
At Nikita Leth, she tweeted, you know what sucks? I have chronic tendonitis in my wrist since I was 15. And I didn't even get it from something cool like sports. I got it from being a cashier. Aww.
Oh, that is sad.
It is sad. Like, it doesn't even have a cool story behind it. Like, I'm a tennis pro, like anything like that. Nope. Just working at the local CVS. At PSKRilla333, locked my keys in my car, pouting face emoji. Food I just ordered is about to be too cold to eat in the front seat. Waiting for AAA.
When you're staring at something beyond the window that you have to get to, it's the worst. That's when you contemplate those bad decisions. Do I pick up this rock?
Mm-hmm. You thought you had it bad? How about at M Crisis 2020? I've done some selfish stuff in my life, but never cook salmon in the microwave at work selfish. Thanks, Jeff.
That's terrible.
And the last one of the day for you thought you had it bad so you can start your morning on a positive note thinking that you're all right. At JMKRS64, he tweeted, today, on my first full day on Marine Corps boot camp, my drill instructor pulled me and another kid in front of 200 other recruits to vote on which was uglier between the two of us. I won. Oh, poor guy.
Welcome to the military, son.
Yeah, thank you for your service. What happened to you on the bridge? What's the scariest bridge you've ever driven over? 1-800-330-9999. Raven, let's talk bridges. More than 45,000 bridges were rated in poor condition across the country yesterday.
Yeah, we hear this all the time, right? The infrastructure of the country is failing. It's crumbling, if you will.
I read some crazy stat that said that there's a water main break every 3 seconds or something nuts like that that didn't even make sense to me.
It's a tragedy that is knocking on the door, that highways.
It's so crazy. Right. And it says because of the traffic congestion due to the poor conditions of the bridges, that it was adding 54 hours a year to the average commuter before the pandemic when people were still in cars driving around all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. Raven, are you afraid of bridges?
You know, I can't say that I'm terrified, but I have been on a couple bridges before in my life where you look over and you're like, okay, okay. My wife doesn't like them at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
every time we go
them.
Over it, I try and, like, you know, go to the middle, even though I like the view, because she freaks out. And she doesn't talk the entire time over the bridge until we're past it.
I think I've become conditioned to it because I've driven over bridges before, you know?
Right.
But there's actually a name for the fear of bridges.
Okay.
Gyrophobia.
One more time?
Gyrophobia.
I mean, why is he saying it like that? It's a little creepy, buddy.
Yeah. But it actually is very, very common. And because all these stats come out about how unsafe bridges are, it intensifies that fear for a lot of people.
Okay.
I get the, like, in my chest, like the... like, you know, I don't know how to describe it. Like, your chest tightens a little bit.
Sure, sure. Like, you get that your stomach feels like it's going for a loop.
Yeah. Right. I don't like it, but I can tolerate it. But I'll never forget that I used to date this guy. And it's not just, you know, I hate the thought that, oh, this is like women fear. It's not. It's really across the board. But I used to date this guy a long time ago, and he was terrified of bridges. And when he was little, now looking back, it's kind of crazy, but his mom used to make him take his shoes off. So she would help his fears, and she would say to him, okay, we're going to go over the bridge, take your shoes off, because if they went off the bridge, he could swim. Now,
how does that make a kid feel better? Seriously.
But it did.
What kind of nonsense is that? His mother ought to be counseled. Like, well, that's absolutely ridiculous. It is no way to make me feel better.
But now here we are in high school.
Take your shoes off
and we're
in
dating.
Case we can swim.
Yeah, but in high school, I will never forget it. The first time we went over a major bridge together in the car, he kicked off his sneakers, and he was like 16 at the time.
What do you do if you're driving the car?
Well,
you know,
you better have flip flops on.
Come on.
And he immediately like took off his shoes, and he's like, oh, I do it out of habit. I go, what do you mean you do it out of habit? He's like, well, my mom ever said, because I was so afraid that if the car went over, I could open the door and I could jump out and I'd be able to swim faster without my shoes on.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, mom. Seems like a failing as a parent there, just in general, but all right.
But it worked. He could go over the bridges.
Yeah.
A lot of people still can't.
You know,
that's a real thing.
I don't love the ones. So I tell you, going over a bridge on a motorcycle is not fun. Like if it's one of the steel grates, because even if it's a concrete or an asphalt bridge, it has the grate areas for expansion.
Yeah.
So that's not fun because you feel your tires move a little bit. But in the car, I mean, it's just noise.
Mm.
That's why I'm going to take my shirt off, because I don't like to get my shirt wet when I'm swimming.
What happened to you on the bridge? What's the scariest bridge you've ever driven over? 1-800-330-9999. It was trending yesterday that they did some research and they found that 45,000 bridges across the U.S. were rated in poor condition.
Well, you hear
that's
it all the time,
lot.
Right?
Woo!
I guess that's a little bit more than paint and a bolt here or there.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have fear of bridges, and it's called
Jafirophobia.
Try saying that three times fast.
Why does that guy sound like he's asleep while he's giving us this pronunciation?
Because he's paralyzed in fear of the bridges,
okay.
Raven.
I guess maybe that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's a real thing. People are afraid of bridges.
Yeah, I'm not terrified, but my wife doesn't prefer them, that's for sure. You had a boyfriend that used to take his shoes off because his mother told him if they went off the bridge, he would swim better.
It's
I would
true.
Say that is the worst parenting decision I've ever heard in my life.
1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven, scariest bridge you've ever driven over?
So I was living in Virginia Beach at the time, and I was driving to New Hampshire to see a friend for her 21st birthday, and I went over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge.
Oh, boy.
It was really windy. Water was coming up on the bridge. It was raining so hard. I was, like, literally in the middle of two lanes. I get off the bridge. Come to find out it was in the middle of a hurricane.
Oh, my gosh. That is scary.
Yeah.
And that's a scary bridge, no question.
It's actually considered, the Chesapeake Bay Bridge is considered the scariest bridge in the entire country.
Wow.
Yeah. Coming in at number two is the Mackinac Bridge in Michigan, also known as the Mighty Mac.
Okay.
Number three, the Captain William Moore Bridge in Alaska.
Yeah.
Number four, the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, that would be scary. It's big.
Yep. And number five is the Royal Gorge Bridge in Colorado.
Okay.
But turns out that people are actually profiting off people that have fears of going over bridges, especially the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, which is so widely known for being like terrifying.
Right.
There's a guy that drives your car over it. He charges $25 a pop. Listen to this.
How many times a day do you do this, Alex?
Today, this is number 19.
This is 19?
So far, yes.
Can you imagine 19 times a day at $25 a pop?
I know that when you approach the bridge, there used to be signs.
Yeah.
Right. That would say if you need a driver or whatever, call. I know that they removed some stuff, but I do remember that.
Isn't that crazy that people are so terrified that they would pay this guy $25 to drive their car
over
the bridge.
Well, they get stuck, and then the traffic backs up behind them, and it creates problems. They actually get stuck, frozen with fear, if you will. I can remember I was driving across the country. I was moving across the country, and I had a Penske, a huge truck, like 35 feet, and then I had a trailer on the back of it. I was towing my car on top of it. So I went out to Mount Rushmore, and then I went out to the Comanche sites. I was on the reservations, and of course, it's not like highways, like, you know, you're used to interstate highways. It was the thinnest bridge. It was dark. It was foggy. And I had this vehicle that was, you know, weighing a ton. There was all sorts of warning signs. I didn't know what my weight was, and I couldn't turn the vehicle around there. I had to go for it.
Oh, my gosh.
I just went for it, man. Luckily, I made it.
It's scary.
The car was still on the back of the trailer, too, when I got over, but I was nervous.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the scariest bridge you've ever driven over?
Scariest bridge 18 years ago yesterday was a Marine Corps ribbon bridge in Iraq. A ribbon bridge is an engineered bridge that they fold out and make to cross rivers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I see those.
It's about as wide as a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about as wide as one of the giant vehicles you're driving in. So it looks like you're just driving in space.
Right.
You know, there's no left, there's no right, there's nothing.
The minute you said bridge in Iraq, you had me.
Right, right. You win. Yeah, take the tank out of it and your wheels flying in space. And just already, you won.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. That's another Marine Corps expression.
And now we join Anna and Raven's coverage of the March Gladness Tournament.
March Gladness, we are crowning the number one thing that makes you happy. And if you'd like to see the full bracket and make your predictions, you can head to annaandraven.com. Raven, every day a new matchup, and you can vote by calling or texting 1-800-330-9999.
You can feel the electricity now as we approach the Elite Eight, and we start to figure out who's going to be in these final divisions, Anna. They've worked all season for this. Which will be crowned the most joyous event? Something that we all can experience in our lives.
And today, Raven, this doesn't go without controversy because already on our social media pages, there is a lot of back and forth. This may be the first upset of the season, okay?
Give it to me.
Woo! Today's matchup comes from the Anna division. Let's start with the number two seed. Stepping on a scale and you've lost weight without trying.
Oh my gosh, does that really happen to people?
It is the greatest feeling in the world. You've been eating what you always eat, and you think when you're about to step on that scale, the sadness will overcome you when you realize that you have gained weight and now you have to really focus on not eating all those Doritos and Snickers bars. But then you step on the scale and you look at it with disbelief. You look at it, that number, and you're like, wait a minute, that looks like I lost weight. You immediately step off the scale, Raven, because you think there's a mistake.
Something's broken here.
You get back on the scale and confirm that that number is correct, and you are 5 pounds lighter. What?
Congratulations, yes! You're the winner.
You did it. You did it, and you weren't even trying. You didn't drink 8 glasses of water a day. You don't even remember the last time you had water.
I mean, all this feeling is kind of like being a guy and just getting rid of soda. But of course, its main challenger today, this is a feeling that everybody has experienced before. It's almost like being on a spa vacation, warm towels out of the dryer.
It's the number 7 seed, but there is a good feeling when you take a warm towel out of that dryer and then you go take a shower and you wrap yourself in that warmth. It's like a hug. It's like a hug of warmness.
You know what? Cinderella story or not, Cinderella had a rough go of it, right? Dress in tatters, all that stuff, till she got her fairy godmother. Your dryer in your house with your warm towels, almost like your own personal fairy godmother. They can take it all the way.
Mm-hmm. And there's some places that sell towel warmers, but let's be honest, nobody can afford that or wants that, really. You want the organic feeling of coming out of there, that smell. You smell that warm towel? It smells good.
Come back to
really
Earth.
Good.
Come back to Earth with me now.
Every day it's a new matchup. You can vote by calling 1-800-330-9999. You could also text, and you can vote on all our social media pages at Anna and Raven.
Yeah, it's a busy time here and a fun time with the tournament. And as we find out who will be the ultimate champion, of course, every competitor really deserves to be here. It's an exciting time again.
Yeah, and today's matchup comes from the Anna division. The number 2 seed, step on a scale and lose weight without even trying, which is my favorite thing in the world. I hate to even admit that, but it really, really is because it never, ever happens. And it goes against the number 7 seed, warm towels coming out of the dryer. And that does feel good. It
it's
feels
like a
nice
snuggle from your mom. You're
yeah.
back in the bosom, all right? Back in the womb when you're a child and nowhere to be. It's just a comforting feeling overall. It doesn't matter what's been going on in your life. You've got that warm towel. 15 minutes on the tumble cycle, it's time well spent.
And you've been voting for the last 24 hours or so, but it all comes down to these final votes. 1-800-330-9999. What makes it to the Elite Eight?
Definitely stepping on that scale. It's a slam dunk.
Every single time. Yep, me too.
You know, you girls really have to go through a hard thing with that, right?
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What should make it to the Elite Eight? Stepping on a scale, losing weight, or those warm towels out of the dryer?
Stepping on a scale and losing weight.
Yes. Mm. Yep.
Without trying. Yeah. Woo! That is so, so satisfying.
It is. It feels so good.
Charging out your front door that day, feeling great about yourself.
I'm always cringing when I step on the scale.
Me too.
I just don't do it. I don't do it.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's making it to the Elite Eight? Losing weight without trying, or the warm towels out of the dryer?
Absolutely the weight. The best intrinsic value of getting the COVID shot was getting a little touch of the flu, losing 2 pounds overnight. It was awesome.
I know you're not supposed to say it out loud.
But the flu is the best diet ever.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, but then you immediately gain the weight back, and then you feel defeated.
And Ann Raven, March Gladness, is it going to be towels fresh out of the dryer or stepping on a scale and realizing you lost weight without trying?
Definitely the towels, because it happens more often.
That's true. That is true, right? And take your victories where you can get them. Good point.
Oh, stepping on that scale. Yeah, it's like a unicorn when that happens. But when it does, man, it is a big, big day. And ultimately, even though we got a lot of votes on social media for warm towels, way more than I expected, it looks like losing weight without trying will make it to the Elite Eight.
Sad day for towels. But you know what? Only one can prevail, Anna.
There's one near you.
Quality of that never got better. That was it. Even though Blockbuster went out in like 2006, it's still using that, like, sounded like it was from 1989.
Yeah, the quality, the dub quality was not so great back then. But man, Blockbuster Video was the place. It was the spot.
It was. It really was. So Blockbuster documentary, The Last Blockbuster, was trending on Netflix over this weekend. Here's a bit from the trailer.
Did you know that Blockbuster had a chance to buy Netflix, but they didn't?
It is truly the last standing bastion of a bygone era.
Now, that trailer makes it sound like it's a really good documentary. Spoiler alert, it's not.
Oh, come on.
It's not.
I didn't watch it yet.
It could have been 40 minutes long. It was like an hour too long.
Yeah, okay.
It's a lot of nostalgia, but when you think about Blockbuster, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's the nostalgia. Friday night, right after school, we would go. We'd go pick the movies. We would all argue about what movies we're going to get.
Right,
and,
right.
Oh, it was a big deal.
Well, the thing was, you had to go right after school on Friday, because if not, you were going to be shut out, right?
Oh,
it
yeah.
didn't matter how many racks they got of the new releases. You had to be there right as the new releases were coming out. Or you had to be that crazy person that stood over the drop-off area and was
yes.
like, is that the one? Is that the one? Is that the one? And kept asking the attendants.
Yeah.
They were like, yes, you can have this one.
Right. Or do you know when it's supposed to be coming back?
Right.
Do you remember?
They've had it for 3 days late.
Right.
Are you guys not knocking on people's doors? What's happening here? But, you know, they gave us the things that we'll never forget. Be Kind, Rewind.
Yeah.
Remember when they got rid of late fees?
Oh, it was a big deal.
Oh, my gosh. So sad that it's gone.
I was driving home the other day, and I was at a red light, and it was so funny because I looked over, and it was my old Blockbuster.
Right.
And I could almost picture it still, like the blue
there.
And yellow sign.
Right. What
and
is it now?
There. Now it's a dollar store. How sad. But my little one, Dakota, loves it because they always have like the dollar balloons in the window.
Sure,
like,
sure. So she gets excited and your heart breaks a little bit.
It's like I remember the good old days.
Mine is one of those like furniture rental places, like where you can buy a TV if you don't have good credit. It'll cost you $17,000 to take that TV home and you'll pay for it for the next 10 years. But that's what it is. You know what? Honestly, the colors are blue and white. So it kind of looks like Blockbuster when you drive
yeah.
by. There is a pawn shop right next to it too, so you know you can sell something and get that TV.
It makes you feel sad when you see it. You're
it
like
does.
Oh my gosh, it's gone. That was a place that I went several times, and like, you know, over the years every weekend, and now, you know, I can get 99 cent soap, I guess. Love Blockbuster. The Blockbuster documentary is trending on Netflix, and it got us thinking, like, what is your Blockbuster now? Whenever I drive by my old one, now it's a dollar store.
Yeah.
I'm like, remember when? Oh, the good old days.
I've got one of those long-term rental places where you can get a dresser and it'll cost you the same as a Camry.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a pawn shop right next door, too. But those were the days. You go, you get the new videos, the video games, all that. Remember when they got rid of late fees?
It was a big
insane.
Deal. So we asked on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven last night, what is your Blockbuster now? It's everything from a pizza place, a liquor store, a daycare, a pool supply store.
I love the idea of it being a liquor store.
Right. And also a daycare. It could go one way or the other. That's it.
I love it.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What's your Blockbuster now?
Well, our local Blockbuster was pretty big. It was a big one. And now it is, you know, like those little, like, clinics that you can go to if you don't want to wait forever at the hospital.
Nice. It's a pill mill. Okay, great.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
It's a walking clinic.
People are lined up now to get the testing, the COVID testing.
Right. Right.
You used to rent Raiders of the Lost Ark. Now you can get your COVID shot.
And Ann Raven, what's your Blockbuster now?
The Blockbuster now is a library.
Well, that's nice. I think of libraries as being in town like forever, you know, like one of the first places that is built in the town. So I don't think of it, you know, taking over the local strip mall or whatever it may be. But that's definitely a nice new allocation of space.
And the only other place in the world you could rent a VHS, I
think. That's right.
Yeah.
It's true.
So we kind of like follow suit.
Yeah.
Great.
Producer John, you used to be the assistant manager at a Blockbuster.
That's right. It was me and my roommate. There was two of us in the house.
Oh, my gosh. With your roommate on top of it?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Kevin Smith movie. It's like Clerks, right?
That was exactly what it was. And this was before streaming. So we had 5 video rentals and 1 game rental per week. And we got stuff early. Iron Man, 2008 original MCU. Got that early. New Call of Duty. Got it early.
Are you bragging?
I was going to say, as practice, you shouldn't come on and immediately talk about the things that you did that betrayed the customers while you were there.
But he's like, there was a line out the door for this, but you know what I did? I put it in my pocket and said we were out. Nice.
I'm imagining.
For 2 20-year-old guys, it was heaven.
Right. I'm imagining it was a bit of a flashy job, right? I mean, you had to have people that liked you. Were there Blockbuster groupies?
There was 100% people who knew who we were.
Right.
We'd get recognized in town.
Get out of here.
I'm not kidding.
You get your table
really
first because they need you back there to be rewinding.
Oh, my gosh. It's the guy from Blockbuster.
It's the Blockbuster guy.
Oh, my God.
He's not really cute, but this is the one that smells better, at least.
I got asked out a couple of times.
You got asked out as
really
the Blockbuster
told to bring videos,
I really
though?
Did.
Were you told to bring videos, though?
Because
it doesn't count if you were told to bring along a video.
That was probably the ulterior motive.
It's the first invention of Netflix and chill.
Did you put an X next to people's names when they were not kind and did not rewind?
Everybody had their own account, and as soon as you pulled it up on the screen, there would be notes about that person. Notes that you could not tell somebody. So, like, if someone was rude, it would pop up on there. There would be wild stuff written
on there.
I wonder what mine says. Probably like she eats so many M&Ms. She's constantly buying M&Ms.
Bought that popcorn package with the 2 candy bars in there at least 8 times in the last month.
Oh, were you sad when they went out of business or were you like, there goes my dreams for the future?
I was there at the end of the day. This was like 2007 through 2010 that I worked there. I saw the end days of it.
Oh, that's sad.
That is kind of, now we feel bad for John.
Right. Not really. Get out of here.
Did you leave with like some sort of cardboard cutout of like a superhero or something?
I was a senior in college. I left with a college degree.
From Blockbuster?
From Blockbuster, that's right.
And now he's our producer. It shows you how far that got him.
I'm not sure he understands how either college or that worked.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Meredith and Carl. Meredith, what is happening?
Okay, my husband Carl thought it would be a brilliant idea to do a March Madness pool, like a betting pool with money, with our 12-year-old son and his friends. I think it's ridiculous because he obviously has better information and more experience than them, and it's like he's swindling them for their money, which is disgusting. And maybe he could advise our son, but why is he participating? He's a grown man.
Wait a minute here. I mean, Carl, so you're not the organizer of the pool. You're not teaching the kids how to run a pool. You're actually in the pool with the kids as well.
Absolutely. I don't see the problem with that. It's just a bracket. It's a basketball bracket, for God's sake. I don't see the problem.
Wait, you have to pay, though? What was the buy-in?
Yeah, it was $5. I mean, you know, there's 15 kids. It's not like, you know, it's not like $100. It's $5 per kid. I want them to understand the value of a dollar.
Hmm.
And, you know, if they win or they lose, you know, at least it means something to them, not just playing for fun. Nobody plays for fun.
Yeah, I mean, what it sounds like to me is you get $75. Like, dinner's up that one night when the bracket is over, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know much about March Madness, to be honest, but I know that it's like all these different teams, but it's kind of like it's potluck. Like, anybody could win, right?
There's a lot of lottery. I mean, you couldn't know better than others. I mean, how are you doing so far?
All I know is my cousin Angela played one year and she won and she didn't know anything. No, she just picked random. She picked the colors of the jerseys.
Oh, that's kind of like playing 12-year-olds from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do if another parent finds out about this?
Exactly. Exactly. It's embarrassing. It promotes gambling and it's a terrible example.
It doesn't promote gambling. All these kids are all basketball players. They've been on the same team for the past 5 years. We know all the parents, you know, it's just fun. I mean, yeah, the parents doesn't know, but it doesn't matter. But, you know, it's like $5, you know.
If it's no big deal, hold on.
I'm winning right now. I'm definitely not backing out now.
Okay.
My wife doesn't agree.
Yes.
Hey, listen, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, TGI Fridays, who paid for that? The kids did, so you might want to send them a nice thank you for your dinner.
No, I think if you win, you're taking them all out for a pizza party.
Mm, well, I guess that wouldn't be the worst idea. That might keep you out of prison anyways. I mean, I like it. I just, you know, $5, honestly, I would have made them reach a little bit deeper.
What?
You know?
Carl, this is so innocent. Why didn't you ask any of the other parents to be part of it with you?
Because they might be better than him.
It's too late now. I mean, I can't go back and think about stuff like that.
Okay.
I like to think if the kid doesn't have the $5, I want to know what else they have for the trade, right? What else is worth it? Oh, you don't have $5? Okay, how about that remote control car I seen you out with all summer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's up with that? Put that in the pot.
How about that Nintendo Switch? You want to
right,
play?
Right, right. Here we go.
Well, we just ask our audience what they think. They may agree with you, Carl. Like, it's big deal. It's $5, 15 kids. They all jump in. You're the only adult. What's the big deal? Who cares? It's fun, but they may see Meredith's side, too, that it is kind of promoting illegal gambling, and you are the only adult amongst a bunch of children, and there's probably something wrong, and you should give the kids back their money and move on.
To my defense, they came up to me like, we want to do this, but, you know, these are 12-year-olds. They don't know how to organize and put emails, you know. Like,
yeah, they just wanted to beat
like,
you.
I right. did that all no, for them. So right. I would call it a management fee if you want to call
right.
it.
Right. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Carl started a March Madness bracket with his 12-year-old son and all his friends. Charged $5 buy-in. Just him. He's the only adult and all the kids. His wife, Meredith, not happy about it.
Well, he's way out in front right now, so he says there's no way that he's quitting at this point. I mean, after all, he says they approached him. He just helped them get organized at this point. And if he wins, he's keeping that $75. There's another 15 kids in this pool. That's real money.
They're children. He's doing gambling with children. There's no other parents involved. He's the only one. Whose side are you on? It's a couples court with Anna and Raven. 1-800-330-9999.
I'm on his side. What's $5? They're 12-year-old. They play basketball anyway.
You know, here's the thing. I would have upped the ante, all right? I would have went $10 or whatever.
Yeah,
and if you don't feel comfortable with cash, you know, assign the kids in the neighborhood jobs.
Okay.
Right? So you're going to mow my lawn.
Yes.
You're going to wash my car. I got a ditch. We're thinking about putting in a fence.
Great.
All right? You guys are going to do the fence post holes.
Oh, good. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Verdict is coming up next. Couples Court. Carl has taken it upon himself to start a March Madness bracket with his 12-year-old son and all his friends. He's the only adult. And charge admission to get into the brackets.
Listen, when you go to a carnival, do you think that the odds are any better for you? All right? He's got to get that paper. That's all I'm saying.
Meredith, his wife, is furious. What dad starts and charges 12-year-old children to be part of a bracket? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on the husband's side, but the only thing that I say is he should make them go through the whole thing, and then at the end, just give them, like, $250 back and just teach them, like, you know, first of all, I'm an adult, and you see how easy I was able to get over on you guys, and just teach them a little lesson, but give them at least $250 back. This way they know, like, wow, okay, I understand it more.
Oh, I like that. I like that she made this a learning thing, but she's still pocketing half the cash.
No. We're only spitting the winnings if it's a $20 buy-in. $250 each? No way. No way. Thank you for the call.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
Hey, I'm on his side. I mean, the kids are old enough. They have access to all types of things online, like Xbox. They can buy anything. Especially if they play the game. But, you know, it wouldn't hurt to get some other parents involved. You know?
Right.
Well, right, because if we get the other parents involved, then we can make it a $50 buy-in.
There we go.
Right, and they got to cover, the neighbors got to cover their own kids.
Okay.
All right.
Hi, it's Ian on Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm definitely on the wife's side. Tell Carl to grow up and get in a pool with men. Mm-hmm. It's not his business to go telling other kids how to gamble.
Exactly. Like, he's taking advantage of kids. Like, if there was all the parents and all the moms and dads were in on it, that's one thing. Like, now it's like a big community thing. But saying, nah, just the kids, and I'm going to be the 53-year-old man in charge here, it seems shady to me.
We're in a pool right now together.
There's something wrong with this guy. For sure. And the wife is absolutely right. And if he doesn't recognize that, she should out him to the parents.
Anna, I want you to, though, think about this for a minute. You and I are in a pool together. Based on your knowledge of the NCAA, is it any different? Is it any different?
Well, I'm not a minor. I'm a grown-up.
Which is why I charged you $20.
Right. That I made terrible decisions and made terrible picks as an adult. It's different. Although I am in 45th place now. I moved up.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Carl, our audience agreed with you this morning. Meredith, it's all in good fun. $5 is $5. I don't know what else to say except that that's how our audience voted.
Meredith, you got to get paid for organization, all right? These are organizational fees that are going on here. He's teaching these kids a lesson.
Yeah, he's teaching them that he's going to buy them pizza if he wins, and I'm going to make sure of that.
Get off your pizza. You buy him pizza. This is my money. I want it nice and clean. No.
Okay, couch. You've got the couch then.
That's right.
You know, see you in a month.
Teach him the lesson that, you know, it's a crime to let a sucker keep his money.
You got a problem too. Send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
This is Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure, good luck, Cheryl.
All right, Cheryl, we got $1,100 on the line. When Raven walks out of here, that door is going to close, and when it does, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins, but if it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready?
I'm ready.
Number 1, Joe Jonas posted a video of himself eating McDonald's off of a Spotify record that was recognizing 1 billion streams of his song, Cake by the Ocean. With what band did he record that song?
Oh, the, not the Jonas Brothers, but... I'll say the Jonas Brothers.
Okay.
It's not them, but.
Number 2, for the second year in a row, the White House has canceled the Easter egg roll. What's the address of the White House?
100 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Number 3, today is National Puppy Day. One of the most famous dog books of all time is Marley and Me. Who is the author?
I don't know.
Number 4, a contestant fell face first and split open her chin during her American Idol audition. She's okay and she's going to return. Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, and what country star are the current judges?
Luke Bryan.
Number 5, Jennifer Garner stars in Netflix's number 1 movie right now, Yesterday. She has multiple Golden Globes for her role of Sydney Bristow, a double agent for the CIA. What show was that?
Alias.
Okay. All right, Cheryl. You've redeemed yourself a little bit at the end. Come on, Raven.
Yo.
I'm waving. All right, Cheryl got 2 out of 5.
Not too good for $1,100, Cheryl. Let's see what happens.
Number 1, Joe Jonas posted a video of himself eating McDonald's off of a Spotify record that was recognizing 1 billion streams of his song, Cake by the Ocean.
Good song.
With what band did he record that song?
DNCE.
That is correct.
Dance minus the A.
Right. Number 2, for the second year in a row, the White House has canceled the Easter egg roll. What's the address of the White House?
1600 Pennsylvania Ave.
That is correct. Number 3, today is National Puppy Dog Day. One of the most famous books of all time is Marley and Me.
Mm.
Who is the author?
I have no idea.
But, John Grogan.
But I'll tell you that. Sad.
The book is sad. You should read the book before you watch the
movie.
Why
would I read the book to make me sad? You just told me it's sad and I watched the movie and it was sad.
Number 4, a contestant fell face first and split open her chin during her American Idol audition.
Oh, that's terrible.
She's okay and she's going to return to audition again. Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, and what country star are current judges?
Isn't it Luke Bryan?
Yep. And what's his last name?
Luke Bryan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number 5, Jennifer Garner stars in Netflix's number 1 movie right now, Yesterday. She has multiple Golden Globes, though, for her role as Sydney Bristow, a double agent for the CIA. What show was that?
It's Alias.
Yes. All right, Cheryl, he beat you 4-2 this morning. That does get you your own Anna and Raven t-shirt.
That's great. My name is Cheryl, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Cheryl. Hold on the line, okay?
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.